I'm David Dye. This is the first segment in our week-long visit to Portland, Oregon, as a part of our quarterly Sense of Place series. We head to an important musical city and get musicians' view of the scene in the city. So many bands and people are moving to Portland. The city has a well-developed reputation as an indie rock mecca. People in Portland have time and inclination to do a lot of arcane things very well. Today's segment is with Colin Malloy, lead singer and songwriter of the very popular folk rock band The Decemberists. He was a year out of college living in Missoula, Montana, when he decided to relocate to Portland in 1999. Part of the inspiration behind his move there had to do with his college band, Tarkio.
Summer it came like a light across the highlands.
I played in a band in college called Tarkio, and we had toured out here a couple times, you know, on our small little Northwestern tours, and always felt like it was a good environment. Also, I had family in Ashland and an uncle in Eugene and Corvallis, and I would come out here sometimes in the summers and work in the vineyards in the Willamette Valley. So I always had kind of one foot in Oregon and always loved Portland. And it felt like kind of a happy medium between, you know, kind of a big city like Seattle or San Francisco and the town that I was moving from, Missoula.
But there was a conscious thing to get to a bigger city.
Yeah, I definitely was excited to get out of, you know, smaller town world and get to a place where there was just a little bit more happening, especially wanting to pursue music, which was kind of on my radar at the time, though mostly I was moving here just to gain life experience before I went back for my MFA in creative writing.
When did you start making music here? What was the circumstances of that? Because you did some solo work?
Yeah, when I moved here, I had some contacts that I thought I had developed from playing out here. I mean, I think that they were flimsy contacts. So I got out here and had a hard time getting people to return phone calls. This is sort of the nature of the business, you know. And I think at the time, you know, the Dandy Warhols were kind of the biggest thing.
So what do you do? Oh yeah, I wait tables too. No, I haven't heard your band, cause you guys are pretty new. But if you dig, I'm vegan food. Come over to my work, I'll have a cook you something that you really love. Cause I'm like you, yeah, I like you. And it feels so bohemian like you.
The rest of the music scene felt a little bit guttered. There was a lot of fallout from the kind of the post-grunge thing, and a lot of people, I feel like, nursing wounds from failed demo deals and things like that. So it was sort of a weird environment, I think, when I first moved here. And for whatever reason, it was really hard to get a gig and wasn't getting return phone calls and ended up just doing open mics. And then from open mics doing, you know, solo shows and coffee shops and bars on Monday nights.
So where was the first show in town that the Decemberists played here?
I think the very first show we ever played as the Decemberists was doing three songs for a showcase that our drummer at the time, Ezra Holbrook, was putting together. That was at Barbati's Pan.
Where did you play your first show that sold out?
I think we might have sold out the Blackbird. And I think for our CD release, for Castaways and Cutouts, our CD release party. And that was really exciting, you know, and eye-opening. But then I think we went back there and played another, you know, a couple months later, and there was maybe 30 people there, you know. So it was, I kind of freaked out at that point thinking that, oh, so this is what it's going to be like. You know, you do a CD release party every year and people come out and pack out the place, but then every other show is empty. And I think that that's something that a lot of local bands have to It's sort of a cycle that you have to grow accustomed to if you're just playing locally. So I think at that point, I knew that we had to get on the road and get out of town.
There is a road that meets the road that goes to my house, and how it green grows there. And we got special boots that beat the path to my house, and it's careful when I'm there.
What happened from that experience when you returned? I'm wondering if there's more respect for people who actually get out of town, do things.
Yeah, I mean, in a place like Portland, I mean, if you're in L.A. or New York, or maybe even San Francisco to a certain degree, that the city and the scene is big enough that you can really, it's a microcosm unto itself. And so you can kind of be a New York band without it and get huge national attention without ever really leaving New York, it seems to me. Whereas Portland is sort of more of a kind of a fickle audience. And not only that, I mean, I think in order to get kind of mainstream recognition, you have to prove yourself out on the road. I think it's just not big enough of a city to support any kind of like major zeitgeist pushing forward. I mean, maybe that's changed, but I don't think it has.
Well, speaking of change, are you able to see from your, you know, vantage point the changes in the city from even when you moved here?
Absolutely. I mean, I think it feels like it's pushed left politically. Geographically, it's changed a lot. You know, I think that a lot of money came into Portland in the aughts, in the boom, and there's a lot of kind of crazy stuff happening, particularly in downtown and some of the neighborhoods in the Northeast. But as far as the music scene goes, yeah, I mean, I think there's been some huge change. I mean, I remember when the Shins moved into town, and that was a big deal. And it seemed to go from there, like Modest Mouse. I mean, I think it was maybe Slater Kinney who first moved down from Olympia, and that seemed a little very exciting at the time. And so within, I think, a span of a few years, all of a sudden, Portland was home to these fairly well-known national bands, and all this, like, really changed the whole tenor of the scene pretty dramatically.
Gold teeth and a curse for this town. Rawl in my mouth, only I don't know how they got out here. Turn me back into the dead. I was only mad. I was happier then with no mindset.
What about some other cultural elements of the change?
Along with the money and maybe the political shift and also the cultural shifts with the bands moving in and is sort of developing a kind of a food scene and getting more attention. I mean, inevitably, I feel like there's a lot of kind of hipster slough from other cities coming into town, and which is great. I mean, which is fine. I'm not, and I hate to use the word hipster, but it's a common vocabulary that everybody shares. And I think in some ways it's caused Portland to be the butt of some jokes, but it does mean that at least Portland is somewhat on a vanguard of cultural thought. And I think that there's a lot of really cool things happening on the margin as the margin has, over the last decade, I think, slowly become more mainstream. It just has made the margin more interesting.
Speaking of which, what do you think of Portlandia?
Oh, Portland. Yeah. So, yeah, I think it's great. I mean, our drummer, John Moen, who is a Portland veteran, if ever there was one, you know, existed through several different changings of the guard music wise and has survived them all. He has probably the best insight into that. But, you know, I think he really sensed what was happening when we were touring. Maybe 2004, 2005, when he joined the band, and all of a sudden people were talking about Portland wherever we went. I think he was sensing it more than we were, and he kept saying that Portland is a city that's just a little bit too proud of itself, a little bit too excited about its own identity. And so as that grew and grew, I think in order to make it interesting and dynamic, you have to have some people sending it up to cut it down to size a little, not even cut it down to size, but create a little bit of dynamic in that kind of overheated self-importance.
A number of people have mentioned that they
they enjoy it. They think it's really funny. And then all of a sudden, something on it hits completely home and they recognize themselves.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, I think everybody can recognize themselves. I mean, you just want to, you know, being so concerned about where your chicken is coming from. And that doesn't apply just to Portland, but, there's in the East Coast. That's where a lot of that stuff has come from. You know, it's been imported to Portland, that idea of locavoreness.
Hi, I'm Bryce Shivers.
Hi, I'm Lisa Eversman.
And we put birds on things. Today we're going to go to a store on Mississippi Avenue. Nothing has birds on it, but you know what we're going to do? We're going to put birds on things.
Spruce it up. Make it pretty.
Thank you.
Put a bird on it.
Putting a bird on this teapot.
It's a bird.
I bet you it's flying all over the beach.
What a sad little tote bag. I know, I'll put a bird on it. Did you see this bag before? I didn't. Now there's a bird. It's flying. It's free.
I'm gonna put this bird right on this card.
It's so pretty.
You like that, ma'am?
Fantastic.
The whole put a bird on it thing, I think, stung a lot of people. I mean, I think on the Crane Wife tour, we had an entire stage was festooned with birds when we played. And so it makes perfect sense to me, and it's hilarious. I hope that it doesn't make people stop putting birds on things, but I think it's just maybe turned over to insects or something.
Which brings us to the question of the perception from Portlandia or whatever is that the hipster slough have taken over Portland.
But also the retiree slough.
I was going to say, it's not just one group, because there's P.F. Chang's, there's Chain's, there's everything doing well.
I think I remember in maybe 2002, 2003, some magazine called Portland the best place to live, or, you know, some wide generalization like that. And I think that led to a lot of the press and people coming out, which is great. I mean, it's helped the local economy and created a city that is much more happening than it had been prior, but it's been a bit of a shock.
Colin Malloy, the first in our Portland Sense of Place series that continues tomorrow with a very complete look at Portland's musical history. We have a wonderful, very complete web page about Portland up with videos, a map, free downloads. It's all up at npr.org/senseofplace.